The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at LifeStreams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
Disciples everywhere, like Rod talked about, in our community, but also in our city, in our country, and around the world. And we want to start today by just giving you a brief update of what's happening with our CDC ministry. First of all, I got some really sad news from Rod this morning. One of our CDC partners, Akim and Melissa, and they're chaplains in Kununurra. And I know them personally, many of us do, they're lovely people. Kim sent us an email this morning because his father's just died of cancer. His father's been struggling with cancer for a long time. So if you guys know them, can you just send them an email, just let them know that you're praying for them. As a church, we're going to pray for them right now. Father, we just want to thank you for Kim and Melissa. God, I thank you for the sacrifice they've made to go to Kununurra and to love people there, God. Thank you for the great influence they have in that place. And God, I just want to pray that you would be with Kim and Melissa in this time of grieving, Father. But we pray especially for Kim's mother, that she would know your peace and your provision. Lord, I just pray your protection over the family in this time, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. On a better note, one of our CDC partners is Min Raj in Nepal. He has a great ministry out there. He leads a church planting network, a church planting movement in Nepal. We've been partnering with Min Raj for some time. And now we're developing a new partnership, because one of the things Min Raj does is he actually trains church planters in Nepal. As a church, we're now sponsoring three of those students. So it's a three-year program. The three students we're sponsoring, they're going to receive training and mentoring for the next 3 years. And the expectation, the goals, by the end of that period, they start their own church, their own congregation. And so we're really excited that we get to partner with them during this journey. Whether it's Kim and Melissa in Kununurra, whether it's these guys in Nepal, our CDC ministry is only possible because of our faith promise. So, guys, I just want to remind you, our faith promise goal, I think, is incredible. It's huge, but God can do it. It's $200,000 for this year. And I just want to remind you, pray about how God wants you to be involved. You can give electronically through the PushPay app. You can give through money in the bag. There's heaps of ways. But just be saying, God, how do you want me to be giving to the faith promise this year so that we can make disciples everywhere? This CDC Sunday, we're having a special focus, like Rod talked about. It's all about freedom. And I want to invite Janelle up.
When I hear that song, Amazing Grace, that we sang at the beginning of the service, it makes me think about two people. The first is my grandma, which makes me a bit sad. And the second is William Wilberforce, whose life was featured in the movie Amazing Grace. You know, 200 years ago, when William Wilberforce led a movement to see slavery outlawed in the British Empire, people thought slavery was over. It was finished. Only slavery hasn't stopped. It's just become less visible in our world. So what does slavery look like today? Well, it could look like a little boy who works from dawn till dusk sewing tiny little sequins on our designer clothes, but never having a chance to go to school. Or it could look like young women thinking they're going to China or Malaysia to work as waitresses, and then having all their documents stolen and being forced into marriages when they get there. Or it could look like a girl locked in a brothel, where she's sold to men over and over again every day as a sex slave. She has a number pinned on her bikini so men can easily identify her. Even her name is gone. When we read our Bible in Genesis 1, we see that we are created in God's own image. We have dignity and worth. But when someone is sold as a slave, they become a commodity. They lose their God-given value and worth. That's why slavery is evil.
But today is Freedom Sunday. Now, Freedom Sunday can be celebrated on any day, but we celebrate today. It's a global day when churches and other organisations unite. We unite together in worship, we unite in prayer, and we unite in action against slavery. We want all of you to know more so you can do more. There are almost 21 million people in slavery today around the world. Almost a quarter of those are sex slaves. These are people who have not chosen prostitution but been forced into prostitution. Half of those sex slaves are children. And these are the people we're going to focus on in our service today. It's not because we think this topic is interesting or because we want to focus on it, but because as followers of Jesus, he's rescued us, and so we're called to rescue others. And Luke's going to share more now.
I'm just going to pray. God, we just want to hear from you this morning, Lord. And this isn't easy, what we're talking about, Father, but it's real. And God, we want to be involved in rescuing people, God. So, Father, would you just prepare our hearts, Lord, for the people we're going to hear from? And, Lord, would you please show us how we can be involved? And may all this be for your glory, God. Amen. Like Janelle said, slavery is real and it's horrible. Haverscope is a group that researches modern-day slavery, and the numbers are awful. In India, the cost to buy a buffalo is $350. You can buy a child for $45. In Bangladesh alone, in one country, there are 29,000 children who are sex slaves. Men will pay 60 cents each time they visit one. Globally, there are 5 million victims of sex slavery today. How do we respond to such numbers as Christians? How do we respond to slavery? Because like Janelle said, it's not an issue we can just ignore. As I've been thinking about this question, I see no better place than to start with the Bible and start with the words of Jesus. And so today I'm going to read from Luke 4, 14 to 21. Then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him spread quickly throughout the whole region. He taught everyone regularly in the synagogues and was praised by them. When he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. He rolled up the scroll. He handed it back to the attendant and he sat down. All the eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Then he began to speak to them. The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. In the book of Luke, these are Jesus' first public words. And man, they pack a punch. For almost 2,000 years since the time of Abraham, God's people had been waiting. They'd been waiting for their deliverer. They'd been waiting for their savior. They'd been waiting for God to speak. And now finally, here, God speaks. These are Jesus' first public words. This is his first sermon. This is his inauguration speech. This is his mission statement. These are the words that would define everything that was to follow. And Jesus defined his ministry as freedom. The captives will be released. The blind will see. The oppressed will be set free. This is the time of the Lord's favor. Jesus came to create a kingdom which is defined by freedom. It's a place where every person experiences freedom in all of their lives. This is a place of freedom from condemnation and guilt and judgment and all the slavery that's created by sin. This is a place of freedom from sickness and from death and from fear and from poverty and from loneliness. And this is a place, this kingdom that Jesus wants to create is a place where people are free from literal and physical slavery. This is Jesus' kingdom, and this is what we were created for. This is our hope. This is what we long for. We see Jesus' kingdom breaking through in this world. The Gospels talk about it. Slowly, as we share God's love with people, we see God's kingdom breaking through. But we won't see it completely until he returns. And here's the exciting part and the scary part. God invites us to be his co-workers. God invites us to free people from slavery. Because we are followers of Jesus, because we are the body of Christ, we continue Jesus' ministry in this world. Jesus' mission statement in Luke 4 is also our mission statement. Like Jesus, our mission, our ministry, our lives are to be focused on rescuing people from slavery. We do this every single time we go looking for a person of peace. As a church, we want to pursue one this year. Yeah, as we go and make disciples, we're rescuing people from slavery. But that's not all. Because we live in a world where there are 21 million physical, literal slaves. And we need to follow Jesus in rescuing these people also. It's part of our calling, church. God's heart resonates. It throbs for those who are poor and voiceless. Hear our Father's words in Isaiah 58:6. In these verses, God's talking to Israel, Old Testament, and he's talking about the sort of worship that really honors him, that really brings him joy. And he says, guys, it's not just about singing the right song. It's not just about doing the right prayers. This is what God says. He says, this is the kind of worship I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. This is true worship, church. I have absolutely no right to come here and worship God on Sunday if I'm not willing to help people the rest of the week. Church, our calling is to help rescue people from slavery. Way back in 1997, I had made the decidedly bad decision to watch the movie Titanic. As a teenage guy who enjoyed basketball and hated romantic movies, I cringed my way through the love scenes. I had to hold onto my chair during the soppy songs and the corny kisses. I thought I was going to die. And through some cruel twist of fate, I didn't just watch this movie once, I watched it twice at the movies. Goodness me. But there was one scene in the movie Titanic which always stuck with me. You see, the Titanic has just sunk. And the rich people and the privileged people are in lifeboats. While everyone else, all the ordinary people, they're in the ocean and they're sort of freezing to death. And although many of the lifeboats are only half full, the rich people in the lifeboats sort of slowly paddle their way from the other people. They ignore them. They ignore their cries for help and they let them freeze to death in the ocean. What are we going to do with our freedom? Will we paddle away from those who are suffering? Or will we turn around and help as many people as possible experience freedom in Jesus' name? Will we give up our lives so that others might be free? In the time of William Wilberforce, 200 years ago, slavery wasn't hidden. It was everywhere. But the people didn't care. There was too much money involved. It was just easy to ignore it. The people were just apathetic. What about us? Will we ignore those people who are drowning because we just don't care, because we just can't be bothered? Or are we going to follow Jesus and try and save as many people as possible? Because church, that's our calling. What's one thing that you can do? Whew, that's a big question. What's one thing that we can do? It can feel a bit daunting in the face of such a big question. So we're going to hear now from two people who use their ordinary, everyday life to help rescue people from slavery. Let's learn from them. Janelle.
Is Tanya here this morning?
Yes, she is.
All right. This is my good friend, Tanya Veeney. And she and her family are members of our church family. And would you give her a big hand? So Tanya works amongst sex slaves here in Perth. That's her heart. She came here with YWAM. They're no longer with YWAM, but her heart is very much the same. So, Tanya, what does sex slavery look like in Perth?
So slavery in Perth is very much in the brothels and the massage parlours, that is where a lot of the girls are. Also, there's a lot of escorts, but they're mainly into the brothels and the massage parlours.
And where are the women coming from who are working in these places?
Mainly Asia, so we get a lot from China and Korea and Thailand. Yeah, mainly those places.
How do the women who are working in these places end up there?
So a lot of them are from overseas, are from poorer countries or poorer towns, and so it's either through an aunt or some kind of relative that invite them over here. And so then they think they're coming to do a good job, to have money to take home to their family, to learn good English, and so that's how they come. And then when they get here, then normally their parcels are taken away from them, they're put into the brothels, and they can't leave. And so then they have to pay back the money that was spent and getting them over here on the visas and stuff.
You said that they're working in, these ladies are working in brothels and massage parlours. These brothels and massage parlours, they're all in Northbridge, yeah?
No, definitely not. We have some very close. So especially in Burswood, we have quite a few brothels there. And then there's some places very close to here near cafes, just like massage parlours that you would not even know. You'd think they're just beauty places, but they're not.
What is life like for the ladies in these places?
So the lower class, definitely a lot, I'd say a lot of them live in the places. And so they're trapped into these places. They can't just go out when they want to go out. They're locked in. They live there. The more higher class, so there's more of a choice to be there. But still they're enslaved. Yeah, so it's the girls, the lower class girls, especially look very scared and fearful and just a lack of hope, very hopeless.
What do you do? What do you, Tanya Beeny, do?
So I was in YWAM. I worked at the Ministry called Priceless. And so we would go in and we would do manicures, we'd take cookies and just befriend the girls, because obviously they have no one they just chat with. So we'd go in and we'd even teach them English and just talk with them. Obviously there are times where they're busier and less busy, so we try and go when they're less busy and just sit with them. We've had lots of opportunities to pray with them as well.
So here's the big question, what can we do?
Okay. What I'd really love to do now is I'd love to get like a team together and just prayer walk, the places we know there are brothels and massage parlours, and really intercede for them, love to befriend them, and just be able to give them a way out, give them a hope, find Jesus.
Thank you. Tanya is actually going to have at the end of our... So tonight is Freedom Sunday Ladies Night. If you haven't got a ticket, you still can. We said that the cutoff was during the middle of the week, but we're going to show grace, and you can buy a ticket this morning. You can go to Emily at the information desk after the service. It's only $5. You get a light Asian meal, and you can come and eat with us. And Tanya is actually going to share at the end of the night about how to prayer walk. And then for those who want to step out of their comfort zone, and you know, you might need to bring an extra scarf and a beanie, she's actually going to take anyone who wants to go with her and prayer walk around some of the local places where sex slaves are trapped. And that's powerful. And so, you know, we encourage you to pray about that today and do it. Come along tonight and at the end of the evening, if you choose, go with Tanya and do some prayer walking. Now, the main speaker for tonight is Delana. Delana, can you wave or something? Delana is one of our friends from Indonesia. She's a part of the Bali Freedom team there. Her heart is for the same work that Tanya's heart is for here in Perth, but in Bali. Delana is going to be really cold because she's just come from Bali. So if you see her after the service, go buy her a coffee, get her some chips. She's probably freezing already. But, you know, she is going to be sharing tonight, and I really encourage you to come along and hear what she has to say. She's going to not just be telling us about some stories of what she's doing in Bali, but she's actually going to tell us and help us to find things that we can do here in Perth. So, really good.
So, like Janelle's saying... Hey, Janelle. So, trafficking is an issue in Perth. but it's also a massive issue in Bali. I used to joke with people that you aren't really Australian until you've been to Bali on a holiday. Unfortunately, Indonesia is now the number one destination for Australian sex tourists. Every month, around 25 convicted pedophiles from Australia are in Bali. That's what the federal police have said. And that's just the convicted ones. Poverty in Bali creates this massive vulnerability for families. There's massive danger for Indonesian families. It's very easy for the children to end up in sex trafficking. We're honored today to hear from Andy. He's a leader of a church planting organization in Bali. They're doing fantastic work. But he also helps his children who are caught in sex slavery. So church, can we please give Andy a big welcome. So Andy's also struggling with the cold. Andy, what does sex slavery look like in Bali? Where do the children come from?
Actually, this is something uncomfortable for me to explain. But this is a real reality that you all need to know. Besides, as a tourism island, Bali also famous with a sex tourism island. And then the terrible thing is the victims are mostly, right now, for the last 2 years, there are girls under 18 years old who exploited from trafficking.
Andy, where do the children come from that are caught in sex slavery?
Half, 50%, they come from girls from local people in Bali. And the last is they're coming from another island in Indonesia.
How do they end up in this situation? How do they end up on the streets? How do these children end up there?
Yeah, in fact, it's these girls not directly go to the street, but because if you come to Bali, you will meet many small cafe in spreading in the whole district area in Bali. And the cafe, actually the cafe is a sex bar where they prepare girls there.
Janelle and I were horrified when we lived in Bali to find out all the cafes near us were actually brothels. And we thought we lived in a really trendy area, and we actually realized we lived in the red light area. Andy, who abuses the children? Is it just the tourists?
Not only the tourists. Some of them are tourists, but some they are local people. For example, the latest cafe that we and the police can together with the police, and then we met there. The owner of the cafe is a local people. They had 26 girls, 14, 15 years old, coming from Bali and other islands in Indonesia, are exploited there, and then the customer is all coming from the local people.
So Andy, what do you do to help kids who are caught in sex slavery? What's your ministry look like?
One from some of our ministry in Bali are helping these girls, helping these victims of sex trafficking in Bali, especially children under 18 years old. Because our government right now, our new president Jokowi is very, very strong with this regulation. How we can focus and then together with the government to make this regulation really concern how to help the children and women protection, especially from the sex trafficking. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you guys go with the police. When the children are rescued, you guys help to look after them. Is that correct?
Yeah, we make the MOU together with the police office and then some of the women and children protection institution from our government. And then, after the assessment in our government, they referenced to our safe house. And then we can treat these girls in our safe house.
So
from government, from police,
yeah.
And then the last is going to our safe house. Because they are children, so we need another institution come together with us to doing this. And then for the local people, we try to find their own parents or family.
So how many children are in your care right now?
Right now, we have about 11 girls. Okay.
So the police bring them to you. How do you guys care for them? Once they're in your care, what do you guys do to look after the children?
Yeah, these children having a lot of trauma, abusing, violence. So the first important thing that we restore their self-image. And then every month, one by one, we doing assessment by a trauma healing. And then the whole holistic care that we can give to them. Physically, we bring back them to doing a homeschooling, and then life skills. And at the end, at the last, is how we can share together with them about a father figure, about our father figure, because all of them having a fatherless problem in their life. Then by discovery group is the most important thing that we need to share with them, because mostly they are non-believers. They are Muslim, they are Hindus, coming from Hindus and Muslim family. And then by doing a discovery Bible for this 1 year program with them together, finally for the local people, we can see that how this good news these girls can bring to their own family. So after that, our target is how we can make a new cell group, a new fellowship with their own family together. Right now we have a 5 new fellowship together from this 1 year, and the whole family opened their heart to wants to hear more about the good news.
So church, just to put this in context, in Indonesia, if you start a church on a corner like this, and you're full of Muslim background or Hindu background believers, you'll be shut down within a couple of weeks, and you'll be massively persecuted. So the model that Pakandi and others are sharing, using in Indonesia, is reproducing discipleship groups, like I talked about at church a few weeks ago. So like Pakandi is sharing, the goal is not just to restore these children to good health, but to send them out to start new fellowship and discipleship groups, which is just is so exciting. So Pakandi, what can we do? What can we as a church in Australia do in this situation?
Yeah, as you know, this is a hard working. I cannot walk alone. We cannot doing this by ourselves. We need more friends. We need networking. We have a Dog Bali community who can help us to give more information, prevention, education people about these things in our country, especially in Bali. And then, yeah, we still need a team for partnership together to how we can helping more girls in Bali or in the whole Indonesia.
So church may not realize this, but we've already have members of our church that are working with Andy. Andy works with Dwayne Frolick in the YWAM base. He trains their workers. One of the members of our church that's in Bali right now is Vanessa Pennybaker, and she's one of the workers that goes out with Andy each week. I want to pray for Andy before we do anything else. God, we just want to thank you for Andy's ministry, Father. And Lord, we just want to pray that you provide for his physical and spiritual needs, Lord. We pray for more workers to join him, Father. And Father, we do pray in Jesus' name that the children would be rescued. We pray that this slavery would stop. Amen. Can we just give Andy a round of applause? So church, sex slavery is ultimately driven by money. And as tourists, excuse me, who go to Bali for holidays, we actually have incredible economic power. Because we have money as tourists in Bali, we can actually make a significant change. The situation's starting to change with the government in Bali, but their attitude has been, just ignore it. There's too much money involved. There's too much corruption. Let's just ignore sex slavery. But if we as tourists going to Bali can use our dollars to make a change, then that's powerful. Because of this reason, our friend Delana, my brother-in-law Steve, Janelle and I and a team of others have made this website called darkbali.org. On that website, you'll find simple ways that you can have an ethical holiday to use your money to contribute to change in Bali. Darkbali.org. And guys, sex slavery, let's be honest, is ultimately a problem driven by men. It exists because of the sin of men. So this Thursday night at 6:30, we've got our blokes night. We're going to hear a lot more from Andy. We're also going to hear from Dan, that's part of the Bali Freedom Team. And they're going to share some of their stories. And we're going to brainstorm about things that we can do as guys to make a difference here in Perth and overseas. You don't even need to buy a ticket. So unorganized. All right. So it's 6:30 here at the church. Church, I think it's appropriate that we finish this time in prayer. So I'm going to invite Janelle up to do that with us.
Okay, this is actually a call and response prayer. So I'm actually going to say one part and then you're going to say another part. We don't often do this here, but as a sign of our unity and our common desire to see slavery ended, we're going to pray together. So where it says all, I'm going to leave it with you. Okay. We pray for people who are trafficked, caught in chains of slavery. May they find freedom from fear and harm and courage to live in hope.
My little thing stopped working. Can we change slides?
We pray for people who traffic others. May they find freedom from greed and violence and courage to live with justice.
Father of freedom, leads us into life. Deliver us from every evil and make us deliverers of others.
We pray for people who work to prevent slavery. May they find freedom from threats and webs of untruths and courage to live in peace. God of compassion and mercy, who heard the cry of your people and sent your servant Moses to lead them out of slavery to freedom in the promised land, give us wisdom and courage so that we will find ways to ensure your freedom is the gift for all people. We ask this in the name of Jesus.
Church, I'm going to hand over to the worship team in a second, but I just want to give you one more invitation. So tonight we've got our ladies' night. Thursday night, we've got our blokes night. But Andy's also leading a church planting movement amongst Muslims. And if you want to hear more about that, Thursday morning,